Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, Acts 1:8. It's been our launching verses. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, in all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Well, that's sort of like the songs that we were singing and the information that we have that has been shared. All things. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We believe that, don't we? I let you sit down because I had you stand up so long. We want to keep you comfortable. 2016, the year of grace and mercy. You're starting to see the unfolding of God's plan. And when the Lord gave me this at the beginning of the year, he says, this is going to be a year of grace and mercy. And I said, have your way, Lord. And I was so happy in that order. Grace first, mercy afterwards. Because he will bless those who are following after. But he has mercy on those that are not. And I thank the Lord for that we're part of the first part. In 2016, I said it again, I'll say it again, that God needs us. He needs us. And we are seeing things absolutely unfold. We've been looking at the essentials for ministry, as you remember, and the power of grace for ministry. We went through all of these areas. We looked at releasing or speaking grace. In fact, I suggest that when you're reading the Bible, read it out loud. Read it out loud. Let yourself hear what you're reading. It's like a double blessing in the process there. We also we looked at the releasing of the power of God through your life, and we went through that whole process. Paul says in Romans 8:11, I pray that you would come to understand the incredible power that is available for those who, and I put two in there, to believe. It's the same release of his mighty power that raised from the dead. We looked at this whole understanding of empowerment, power to believe. We said, Jesus said, if you can believe, everything is possible to him. Matthew 21:22 says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And I asked a couple weeks ago, I said, how many people have received everything that they've asked for in prayer? And nobody raised their hand. Because we have not received everything. But the wonderful thing that I encourage you to remind you is that God has heard the prayer. His timing is absolutely perfect. The prayers that you have prayed according to God's will be answered. And as he ministers to the process, he's always... it's always in the right time. To us, how many people prayed for patience? Yeah, we all prayed. That's why, yeah, I want to have the great, one of your things, give me patience and give it now, right? On this, we also declared that the power to believe, we were looking at that, and the power to declare or to release that. And we went through all of the areas, as you remember, and then declared the release. I encourage you, if you've not listened to this, if you weren't here, whatever, to put this back on the website, because that those declarations, they continue. And we're in agreement for the areas that we looked at. Now, this morning, let me share some things about the election, okay? There were many prophetic words that were spoken by key prophets. That is one of the fivefold ministries. And these guys have proven themselves. I know many of them. 2 Corinthians 20:20 says this, "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you will prosper." There were many prophets that spoke that God was going to shake up this nation, that he was not finished with America, that he was in the process. And they called, they said that Trump was going to get it, the presidency. He was going to be close, but he said he was going to get it. And there were times that I had heard the prophetic word. I knew the people that were that were saying those words, and I heard. And then I began to look by sight, and I got a little bitty. How many do you when you do that? Sometimes when you look at the situation, doubt goes in. Anybody ever had that happen? I looked at the situation. I said, my. There doesn't seem like a way at all. And then the Lord reminded me, I make a way where there is no way. And he says, I'm never going to let you down. I prayed for America like in our president, like you cannot believe. I mean, I can't believe it. I mean, it was, I prayed more for America than I prayed for myself or for my family. It was really that crucial of an election. Some of the things that happened in this thing, because the election has opened the door for a move of the Holy Spirit. It's also opened the door for alignment to biblical principles again, for family values, abortions, ending, education. That's what this election has done. Religious freedom. The Christians no longer are going to be restricted. You know, in the military right now, that they're giving the they're giving the Christians a hard time, soldiers for carrying Bibles. The military was never to be a social experiment. And when you look at some of the details of what has happened in these last years, it is absolutely amazing. Anyway, no longer restricted. Re-emphasis on our Constitution. We talked about that last week. What this nation was built on. Now, here's something very important. Alignment with Israel. The President Trump called Israel a beacon of hope. And you know how many times I've said that Israel is the one that that you point to or look at when you see God beginning to move, or when you see things beginning to change and the end times coming near. Something interesting I found. We're going to have the largest supermoon. How many people have heard of that? Supermoon, big moon. Something like 68 years is going to happen tomorrow. There have been prophetic words that have said it is a demonstration by God now that the United States now refocused on and re-acknowledged Israel. It's a sign. God put the stars and the moon in the sky as signs. And when you, just to give you another little God bump kind of thing, 68 years, that's how long the last supermoon, almost called it a blood moon, we'll get to those later, but it's 68 years. Do you know what happened 68 years ago? In 1948, that's when President Truman established the state of Israel and said that we will honor you and this is your land. In 1948, Israel became a nation again after they had been spread all over the world. They had no land. The last one was the Babylonian captivity. Their land was destroyed and they were scattered all the diaspora. It's called the diaspora when they went all over the world. And in 1948, 68 years ago, the nation of Israel and the land of Israel that God promised Abraham, it started and at that particular time. So when you look at all this, see how very important it is. There are no coincidences with the Lord. Tomorrow, the week after the election, right, we're going to see the reinstatement of our unity with Israel, and God's going to show a sign. And when we look up at that tomorrow night, we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's God's moon, and he wants to show us. For those who will have eyes to see, let them see what God was saying. The president-elect, here's some more, president-elect Trump set up an advisory board of evangelicals and Catholics to add input into his campaign. 81% of the Christians voted for Trump, even more than, which was a major high for President Bush. 81%. Vice President elect Pence is a devout Christian and declares that the Lord is his primary course of direction in his life. And we have a president-elect who selected this man. I didn't know about Pence before this time. But I tell you, when I saw him and I saw him in prayer, I saw his wife and his son, and they were praying together, and he goes to church every single Sunday. He's actively involved from the Christian perspective. I said, my gracious, look what the Lord has done. And I said, if Trump was not the president, I would want to have Pence the president. He's that good. And I thank the Lord for what he stands for and the stability for this nation. In fact, Trump has placed him as the senior for this whole, what's the word?
Transition.
The transition, that's a good word. Transition. He's put Pence in. Thank you for sitting there. We get together a lot and for counseling and time of share. So you can just feed my the words that if I miss them, okay? but it was him. President-elect Trump and Vice President have stated that they will uphold the Judeo-Christian principles that this nation was bound on, built on. It's amazing. 8 years ago, it was a very shaky time for this nation. Shaky time for me. I heard that President Obama defined the Constitution as a growing document. A growing, that means it becomes adaptable to, how many know that when you take a structure away from something, that the structure will fall? What it was structuring will fall. That's what happened to this nation. And I'm not against President Obama. I pray for him all the time. I felt sincerely grieved by some of the decisions that were made. And I told you that one of the saddest days in my life, I got up in the morning and I was praying, and I felt an incredible sense of heaviness. I said, what is this? I mean, and the Lord spoke to me in my spirit man, and he says, this is a very sad day for me. And I said, how is it? Why is it? And he says, you'll find out. And I went, okay. I went through the day. It was the day that the Supreme Court changed the definition of marriage. And it was such an incredible heaviness on the Lord's heart. And it just seems like all throughout these years, there has been one decision after another. I've told you before that the number one persecuted group in the United States is the Christians. And it's time that God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their ways, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And that's what we need. Amen? Regarding the stuff that was exposed by about President-elect Trump, That's one of the greatest ways that they neutralize. Now, how many said something that you didn't, you want to take back? Some of you are lying to me. You know, just so we can, we didn't elect a pastor in chief. We elected a protector in chief. And that's why when we start turning these things and whatever, and this was a bitter election process. It was absolutely, I mean, just like I said last week, how many people are fed up with it, just want to get it over with? My gracious, I almost said, you know, I'll take Hillary Clinton if we'd stop this nonsense. And then I didn't say it because I took it back before I said it that I thought about. But it just got to the point where the people, we're just worn out from all this stuff. And it's come to an end. Turn to somebody and say, we win. Now is the time for the Christians to be sensitive to what God is doing, which goes beyond dealing with the political side and into the spiritual side. We, as I outlined yesterday or last week, and if you haven't had a chance to listen to that, we've got many, many, many hits on it. And I thought, well, that was just for the church and stuff like that. But it is amazing how many people hit that message. And as I said in that message last week, dealing with the election, that we as Christians look at this nation not from a political stance, but from a spiritual stance. Because God says he has given us stewardship over this nation. And what has happened, when we let our guard down, we've watched this nation deteriorate economically, morally, and globally. It's sad to be able to see these countries just thumb their nose at the United States of America, stopping our boats, shooting missiles at us, flybys that are nothing more than a mocking of this nation. Yeah, and burning the flag too. It's amazing, amazing. But things are going to change, folks. It's time for us to rise up and lay hold of this doorway that we've had, not had in decades. Here's an opportunity. Let me set the stage this morning as we now evolve into what I believe the Lord is doing within the church corporately. The name of this message is Part 5. We had Part 4 last week or 2 weeks ago, and this is Part 5. Okay, so if you need a title, there you go. As we said in 2016, God needs you. God needs you. We have been looking at God's power to believe. The next area I want us to look at is the power to believe God will use you. We have been told that God says, if you believe, then you will receive. And one of the times he was confronted with a man in the Gospels, and he said, Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. So the Lord says to us, you may not have the power to believe, but I will give you the power to believe. Just like he's saying, we want to study this, the power to believe that God will use you. It's important. How many know what SOP stands for? Nobody? Standard operating procedure. Let me show you some standard operating procedure. The Lord uses the weak and the humble to confound the wise. Let me know where I'm going. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says this, God chose things the world considers foolish, out of touch, and unenlightened in order to shame those who think that they are wise. That they are wise. And he chooses those who are seemingly powerless to neutralize those who are powerful. How many times did I hear over these last years that we were bigots, that we were uninformed, or we were holding on to things of the past, something that was done and is no longer applicable today. Have you heard that? That we as Christians are just foolish. What was the word? I can't think of it. It was old-fashioned, but what did Hillary Clinton say? That we are a group of people. Absolutely. It wasn't nice. And also for a way to be able to demean us in what we did as Christians, we cowered. How many know that's going to change? Abraham, God always does things that man can't understand. You know why he does that? So he gets the glory for it. If you do things that you know you can't do, or God asks you to do things and you step up, what's going to happen is you're going to say, thank God, instead of being puffed up with pride. Abraham, you know the story. He was an old man. God says, you're going to start having kids. And he said, okay, how? He says, to your wife. And she was 75 at that time, and she was unable to have kids. And he said, she's going to have your first son. And of course, he messed it up, like I talked about last week. Tried to figure out something God's way, or man's way, and what happened, he ended up with a mess. And that's the mess we are today, because of Abraham. Two people I'm going to punch in the nose. First is Adam, when I get to heaven, and then Abraham. Walk up to him and just, boom. I don't think I will, but so often, what would it have been like if we were in the Garden of Eden and Adam said to Eve, don't you touch that thing? And she says, yes, Adam, I just check and see if you were ready to take your place. And he said, absent at the wheel. But how many of you know that no one taught you how to eat apples either? How many of you know that we do our own little signs of rebellion? So then I'll let Adam hit me back, because he said, you messed up. You'd have been kicked out of the garden even if I did not. We did not eat the apple. So I won't hit him. Gideon. Remember the story of Gideon? He's a guy that was scared to death. Absolutely scared to death. And God chose him to be the head of the Israeli army to defeat the Philistines that were 100 times more powerful. He takes this guy who is scared to death, and he says, you're going to be the one. Call the people together. And he called the people together, and 30,000 people showed up. Wow. God said, that's too many. Send the ones back who don't want to fight, who are afraid. So he sends them all back. He ends up with 3,000. They're out doing their maneuvers and all their stuff like that, and they're getting exhausted, so he brings them to a lake, and he says, let them get water, refresh themselves. He says, but I want you to look at the ones that drink water like this. Everyone laps up a water like a dog or whatever, send them home. He ended up with 300 men who drank water from their hand. And if you ever come to visit my house, you know that I have a cat. And that cat's name is Gideon, because he drinks water from his paw. 300 people went in to destroy the Philistine army. That was marauders. They literally would come down in groves and just wipe out everything. That's why Gideon was scared to death. But he chooses people like that. David, and you know that story, a kid. that literally was a kid. He said, what did he know about running a nation? What did he know about anything? Well, he knew God. And God made him the kings, the number one king in Israel. What about the disciples? God went around. He didn't go to the hot shots, the politicians. He went to fishermen. He went to tax collectors. And tax collectors was the bottom of the barrel. Common people. And then he says, now, what I'm going to do with you, I'm going to hand you the gospel, and I want you to be the stewards of it and spread it around the world. How many of you know, I would have gotten some people that were a little bit more dependable. Because, you know, they followed him for 3 years, and as soon as it really got tough, they split. But he says, I'm not turning my back on you. I made a commitment to you. And you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you are going to be my witnesses. He knew that they were scared to death. He knew that these men, when the pressure hit, they all left. He knew they couldn't do it. And yet he stood by them. And he says, now, you will receive. I'm going to give you the ability to be able to accomplish the task. And it's not going to be by power. It's not going to be by might. But it's going to be by my Spirit, says the Lord. And that same message is clear, is being spoken to us today and to the church today. I'm not going to turn my back on you because I promised you that the plans that I have for you are plans to prosper you and keep you in health, even as your soul prospers. And then we in our weakness doubt and mess up and do all that kind of stuff. And he says, no, what I'm going to do is I'm going to help you because I've committed to you, because I've seen your destiny and your calling in life and your ministry, and I'm going to help you through the process. Then what he does is do something foolish, really foolish, foolisher. And he says, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you. I mean, you know, if I was running this thing, I'd say, you've got to be kidding me, God, in a nice way. He's basically putting the world in our hands. He's putting the most precious thing that ever happened in Jesus Christ dying almighty for our sins to reestablish our relationship with God in us. And he says, I'm giving that. You're the responsible ones to go out and spread it all over the world or in your sphere of influence. Talk about taking a risk. But the Lord says, I'm never going to let you down. Never going to let you down. That's who he is. And I like that other song that the ladies were singing about, you know, like a child, thy will be done. Thy will be done. What an awesome song. Like a child, when I thought about it, thy will be done. How many people have wanted to do our own thing and said, not your will, but my will be done? You ever had that happen? Yeah. There have been times that I've wrestled with God. There have been times that I thought that he was doing the wrong thing. Anybody else beside me? And there was a story of Jacob in the Bible, of a man who wrestled with God. I want to see your glory. He wrestled. Jacob was the brother. His name was the one who stole his brother's birthright. Jacob means conniver. How'd you like to have your... Let's think of a name for him, honey. Let's call him conniver. I thought there was Zerubbabel. And he wrestled with God. He did not obey. And I use that as our men's retreat teaching on it, because God continued to bring revelation about it. But he wrestled with God. And God wrestled with him at Bethel. You saw Jacob, you heard the story of Jacob's ladder. Thanks, Dad. And he wrestled with God, and God smote his hip, and he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. But from that wrestling, God changed his name. You know what he called this man? Israel. Israel. Prince. And that man who wrestled with God became the name of the nation of Israel that did not have a name up until that time. God works in mysterious ways. But all of these people, no matter how timid they were, they stepped into the anointing. God will not anoint someone who is sitting on his anointing or where he sits on. He needs us to agree with him in order to allow him what God has said that he wants to do within our life. That's why I've said Christianity is not a spectator sport. We're not sitting up in the bleachers, you know, rooting for the holy few. It's an act. We are to take an active part. But each one of these people looked at themselves. They denied their inability. But yet they stepped up and said, God, with you, we can do all things. Never going to let you down, folks. That's his promise. Our key to the doorway we've been talking about is to continually remind ourselves of who you are in Christ. Now, I'm going to lay down the what I put up there, the Reader's Digest version. How many people read the Reader's Digest anymore? Not too many. How many people know what the Reader's Digest is? Okay, all right. That's when they'll take a story, and if you don't want to read the whole book, you go back and you get the highlights in Reader's Digest. So I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest, but you have to go back and read the book. Who you are, for all those listening, new people here, who you are in Christ, I found that most people are very insecure about being used by God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I found also something, I know I was. Who? Me? Do what? Told you he made me sign the contract when there was nothing on the contract. He said, I'll fill it in later. Because he knew if I'd read the contract, I would have said something like Abraham said when he said, I'm going to give you a sign. How many know what the sign was for Abraham? Circumcision. Have I got a deal for you? I'm going to give you a sign. And I'm going to. It's going to be. And what is that? It's called circumcision. I can see Abraham said, great, all right. He says, by the way, what is circumcision? And he goes, what? Well, that's the way I sort of felt sometimes. Lord, there's no way in the world. I told you before, I didn't like people. I mean, I could deal with them, but when I found out what a shepherd was, I said, you got to be kidding me. And the Lord said, reminded me that he chooses the foolish to confound the wise. So I said, all right, you're going to have a lot of work to do. But one thing I did not do is I did not rebel against him. I did not fight against him. When he says, I want you to go up and stand in front of thousands of people and I want you to minister, I said, oh, God. First time I did it, I think I stayed up all night. trying to rehearse my message that I tried to memorize. And as soon as I got up on the platform and they had television cameras and people watching all over the United States, I went, and the Lord says, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I learned in college that if for your ministering, for though if you're good point, whatever my when you're ministering, my spiritual father says, I want you to study as if there were no God. And then I want you to minister as if you've not studied. So what happens? You're learning by sitting and listening and reading your Bible, whatever. You're getting things into you so that when you go out in the world, you're going to have this in you, the ministry. They don't, until they find out who they are in God. When I started, and this is the reason I love to teach it, I love to tell people who they are in Christ. I love, because the revelation, when I found out this stuff was really real, it wasn't some kind of religion thing that you had to do to somehow get God's favor. It wasn't something that you had to do to stay out of hell. This stuff was really true. And that's why I'm so enthusiastic about it. Because it works. It works. And I proclaim this over you, that when what you hear, and if there's something that I'm saying that you want, you grab a hold of that. Because God's talking to you personally. And he wants you to understand who we are in Christ. And God don't make no junk. But most people are so intimidated, so fearful, that they forget God says that if you do what I tell you to do, I'm going to show up and make you better at it. Hallelujah, amen, or something. All you got to do is show up. And he says, as I've told you many times, I made you incapable of doing what you should do. You do not have the ability to accomplish the task that I've set before you. And that's what happens. We take our eyes off of the prize and we start looking at ourselves and we end up not being able to see who we are. Because we're filled with timidity until you understand this stuff, that it's not, I am weak, but when I'm the weakest, that's when I'm the strongest, Scripture says. It's when you think you're strong is when you're in trouble. When you think you can do this stuff, then you're in trouble. I tried it one time. I tried it one time. And I got up to minister, waiting, without doing the work, and I made an absolute fool out of myself, to me. I faked it. Long time ago. I got off of that pulpit, I came back down, I tell you, I was sweating putty balls. And it wasn't fun. It was scary. And the Lord says, I'm teaching you a lesson. You can fake it. I mean, after 30 years, 40 years of doing this, I can fake it. I can say the right things. That's what a lot of Christians do. How are you? I'm fine. Be blessed. Have a blessed day, whatever. They're faking it. How are you? Oh, I'm just wonderful. The Lord is good. And go out there and argue all the way home. What'd the preacher say? I don't know. But I learned, and I said this, if God doesn't show up, I'm not going. And a preparation time is the time where you hear God speak to you and say, I will be there for you. I will be there for you. I'm never going to let you down. And all of that trepidation or insecurity and all that kind of stuff that we are naturally blessed with or cursed with, it goes away. Because it's not by my power, it's not by my might, which is weak, but it's by his spirit, says the Lord. And once you get this in you, and once the Holy Spirit begins to, or you allow the Holy Spirit to stir within your heart, this is who I am. I don't have to be bound. I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be fearful. I don't have to, all this other stuff that made up my nature that the enemy just loves to beat ourselves up with. I've had many times the people would come and say, Lord, I said, no, just a humble facsimile. I'll say, my God. I said, no. But we have counseling sessions, and they said, Pastor, the devil just beat me up. And the Holy Spirit said to me, he's doing that well enough on his own. He doesn't need the devil. And so often, or so many times, we become our worst enemies. Because the enemy wants to keep you from recognizing who you are in Christ. Now, it's either what God believes or what you believe. How many people choose God? I want to let you know, the angels are taking notes. They saw who every one of them raised your hand. Until they realize who they are in God. Another way of saying it is, in order to believe God through you, you have to believe God in you. Okay? In order to believe God through you, you have to believe God in you first. And when you don't have anything in there, you can't give anything away. Amen or on me? So what God is doing, what we have to recognize who we are in Christ in order to be able to give that revelation. Let me tell you something. I know who I am in Christ. And I know who you are in Christ. And what I'm trying to get you to have the same kind of conversion, dynamic, whatever it is, impact, to be able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Pastor, or God, if you want me to minister to that neighbor, or you want me to love that person that I'd like to bless with a brick, then I'm going to do it. Because I know I can't. And I know I don't want to. But with you, I can do it. Father, if it's your will, and you know what I'm feeling about this, you know the challenge that I'm having with that person or whatever the situation is, and it pleases you, God. Because God so often has us minister that way to get us out of a prison. I had some people that I didn't really like. Imagine that. And they were not nice. Not nice. And the Lord says, I want you to love them. And I said, I knew you were going to say that. He says, I want you to love. I had for a long time held something within inside of me. And it was every time I saw them, and they were part of a church, I was, because I know that they had said some stuff, that stuff. And I said, Lord, you know that I could clear this up in no time flat. I could resolve this just by exposing them. He said to me, I want you to keep your mouth shut. And I said, I know you were going to say that. And he said, I want you to love them. And I did everything I possibly could to go out of my way in order to show how much I cared for them. And they continued to throw the mud, but I was no longer bound by them. I was free. I was able to express something that I did not want to do, with sincerity. And it, every time that it seemed like they were, again, rebounding, I felt good. I'd walk away from the situation and say, wow, what time are we doing? Okay, we're almost there, if you can write fast. I said, I felt good. It was awesome. Eventually, not as soon as I wanted to, those people came back and asked for my forgiveness. And of course, I said, what do I have to forgive you for? What reason? Well, you know, and whatever. I said, I did not only didn't receive, I don't remember it. I said, but I forgive you. But I didn't remember because I was not bound any longer by it. You see, when you have a wrong relationship and you don't do what God says, you become bound. You're in a prison. And I have refused to allow people to put me into a prison.
Did you have to fake it at first?
Yeah. It was one of those kinds of situations where it's a growing process. But I choose life, l'chaim. And in that process of recognizing that God says, I need you free. So if you're dealing with a situation, if you're dealing with circumstances or a person or whatever it might be that has bound you up, Jesus says, I've come to set the captive free. And it's amazing. And there are some people that have done, I'm sure to you and those listening online, some very hurtful things. But as long as you hold on to that, you are being imprisoned by them. And I would rather please God and be set free than to get my pound of flesh in justification. Somebody say amen to that, and me too. Now, quickly, I want to reestablish this foundation as we move forward. 1 Corinthians or Colossians 1:28, Christ in you, giving you the hope of glory. A paraphrase said this: Christ living in you through the Holy Spirit, assuring you of his blessings. That's why you have the Holy Spirit in you. It's a stamp of approval. It's the sign that God says, with me, life will be filled with joy. Everybody say, Christ in me.
Christ in
Turn to somebody and say, Christ in you.
Christ in you.
If you believe this, that's why we use the word believe. If you believe this, then you can boldly say, start writing, In Christ, I am forgiven of all my past sins. When you know who you are, the devil can't beat you up for what you've done in the past. I tell people, if the devil reminds you of the past, you remind him of his future. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some of the unrighteousness. It's not what it says, huh? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness, or this particular verse, from all of our past failures. In Christ, I am not limited by my ability. Ephesians 6:10, I am not limited. I know I am unable to be able to accomplish the task. Issue solved. Just like I know my sins have been forgiven. Issue closed. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, it says. In Christ, I will overcome the challenges because greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. I know how I am in Christ. I'm saying, this is you. I know that this challenge will be overcome because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Boy, if you start talking to yourself like that, imagine what could happen. In Christ, God will supply all my needs. Philippians 4:19. God, you know the situation here. I'm doing my due diligence. I talked to someone last week in a counseling session, and they've lost their home. And they don't have funds enough to be able to get another home. And it's really bad for them financially, really bad. And so what they decided to do is to buy a mobile home, or not a mobile home, a RV. And so they gave up their home. Actually, excuse me, it wasn't a home, it was an apartment. And they told the landlord that we're gonna move out. And they thought that the man had told him that they qualified for the RV. Then they found out they didn't qualify. So they don't have a home here, place to live. They're completely out. And I said, and he was a Christian, and by the way, they just found out that she's pregnant. What a mess. What could I tell them? What could you tell them? That's the right answer. But I know what God, they love the Lord. Bad, some things actually came out from somewhere, out to California, has a job, but the income is not even close because she can't work. First thing I said was, do you believe that God can meet these needs? Oh, yes, Pastor, we do. Do you believe that this is not caught God by surprise? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Do you believe that God says that I'll take care of all your needs according to my riches and my glory, not your circumstances? And he says, Pastor, help my unbelief. And I said, go back and listen to my messages. They're not a member of the church. And find out that when we are supposed to do, or God asks us to do something that we don't have the ability to do, he gives us the ability to do what he wants us to do. Right? That's what you would say, right? Yeah? Yeah? That's what you're supposed to say. I also said, God, do you want me to help him? And he said, no. Okay? How many know sometimes we can interrupt God's plan? We're not supposed to meet everyone's need. You're supposed to be in obedience. And I prayed with him. He said, thank you, Pastor. And I said, I will continue to pray. Because I know that those are mighty challenging circumstances that you're going through right now. But God never wastes anything. And God's grace, his favor, is in direct proportion to the need. Right? Whatever the need is, God's grace. And if you've got a big need that's legitimate, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. But don't go out and start praying for big problems. They'll find you out anyway. You know why? Because God wants to show his grace to you. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Christ, in Christ, my God will never leave me. There's no way, no how, that you're going to get outside of God's presence even if you try to run away from him. You and God are a majority for every situation that you face. And he says, I'm right by. He says, I'm closer than a brother. I'll never leave you or forsake you. In Christ, my God will keep me in his peace. How many experience that peace? A peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that says, God, you have everything under control. I am not going to fret or be anxious about anything. And the world didn't give it to you, and the enemy can't take it away from you. And that's why he says, cast your burdens upon me, for I care for you. You can't have God's peace carrying your burdens. One of the reasons why we need God's peace is so we can hear God. What am I supposed to do with this? Oh, my gracious, do you understand what the problem is? God, this is incredible. Lord, would you please help me? Would you please, God, this is, I just can't take it anymore. Yada, 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 yada. Anybody ever prayed that prayer? And the Lord says, be still and know that I am God. But you know, you can't hear that unless you're quiet and you're not worrying. Stop. Be still. Be still. And know that I am God. He will not out-yell us. In fact, the Bible says he speaks in a still, small voice. And you have to listen. And when you listen, he speaks volumes. And the peace comes. Volumes by saying one or two words. Don't worry, son, daughter. I have it all under control. And somehow, if you understand who you are in Christ, you've heard me say, nothing's changed, but everything is different. I think this is the last one. In Christ, I will not grow weary, and I will reap God's blessing. It's my favorite verse, Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary in doing what we're supposed to do, for if we do not give up, we will reap the harvest or the benefit. That's a promise from the Lord. And we don't want to go the giving up right before. Let me get that back. Quit reading ahead of me. So often, God has told me, if they'd have just hung on until tomorrow, if they'd have just hung in there until tomorrow, that's when the blessing was going to happen. Turn to somebody and say, hang in there. It's never been closer to you getting your blessing. The Lord is opening up a door for this nation to receive his blessing, for the Christians, for us individually, the church, the entire family, the whole of this nation. We are posturing ourselves. That's what this is all about. It's that wake-up call. April, would you come? That wake-up call. Everybody went, whew, finally finished. Sometimes I have to holler at you to get it in, but in a nice way. We're at a point where God is saying, enough is enough. It's time that the most powerful entity in this nation, which is you, to take that rightful place and now to get back what we have given away. And we have given our emotions away. We have given our mindset away. We've allowed, like I told you, the yin and yang stuff. We've allowed the yang to get bigger than the yin. And the Lord says, it's now time to rise up, church, and to be who I've called you to be. And I will anoint that. And it's going to happen, folks. And I'm doing everything I possibly can to get you under the spout where the glory comes out. And we're going to like it. Amen?
Amen?
Bow with me in prayer to close. Father, thank you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we could have been preaching the same message, Lord, if there was a different outcome of the election. The same message, because you never change. And you would have come in with direct, with what is necessary to be able to deal with that situation too. So even though we're overjoyed, we're thankful, Father, for the new doorway that's being opened for us, we're still saying, God, you've never changed. And you never will. So we rejoice not in the circumstances. We rejoice in our God. And we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now take a moment and talk to God. Thank you, Lord. By power, no, by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Don't fret. Be still and know that I am God. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Did you get it? For all those who got it, stand up. For those who can, let's give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Hallelujah. That's it. Amen. Hallelujah. Take your neighbor's hand. That's a good word to end our time together. He's never going to let us down. And you just keep telling yourself that, and it's going to be an awesome week. I pray for my brother and my sister on my right and left. Father, they are anointed. They are appointed. They are filled with your Holy Spirit. They have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. I agree with you, Lord, for the empowering, for the revelation of who you say that they are. And I claim that with them as we agree for your purposes and your plans. Let your neighbor's hand go. Lift your hands before the Lord. Father, we come. We lift our hands to you. Just by lifting our hands, it's one of the signs of worship. It's a place of vulnerability. It's a place of reception. It's a place where we are calling out to you. And you say, do not fret, do not worry, for I am your God and I am with you. And Lord, we claim that together. And we live it together. And we will be victorious together. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless to the only wise God, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. And all God's people said amen. Give the Lord a praise offering. Turn around and give somebody a hug. God bless you. Have an awesome week. Hallelujah. Thank you.
In the distance, our hearts can feel you rising, stirring hope within us. You're calling out for us. We hear your voice cut through the dark. You're calling out for us as we cry out for love. Greater than our sin, a greater love begins through the power of your cross. Your love is great in us. You've taken all our shame, you've washed it all away.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.